Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Galatians chapter 6 reveals 2 kinds of people who apparently are seeking after God. One kind boasts in their zealousness towards their religion and their dutiful observance and practice of law-keeping. The Apostle Paul represents the other class of God's seekers, those who only boast in the cross of Christ. To which class do you belong? Please stay with us today as we look at what it really means to be a new creation in Christ on this Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Dick Taylor is with us once again today. And Dick, I mentioned the phrase new creation. It appears in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. We'll get to it in today's program in just a moment. But many people may be familiar with translations that render this phrase as in Christ we have become a new creature. Which is it, Dick, creature or creation?
It is definitely creation. The most accurate translation of this word in Greek is creation, and it refers to a corporate entity. That is, all the sons of God brought together with the processed and consummated triune God in their spirit in an organic union with Him. We will see in this broadcast how precious the new creation is. So it doesn't refer to an individual new creature, but to a corporate new creation of God mingled with man.
Well, Dick, we're right in the heart of Galatians chapter 6. Particularly, we're going to see this verse that we just talked about, which is verse 15. Also, before that, we're going to touch Galatians 6:14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to these Galatians. There was much in his life, Dick, outwardly, that he could boast of. He was very accomplished, humanly, spiritually, probably in every aspect. But it's a real expression of the life that he was constituted with, isn't it, Dick? The divine life. His only boast was in the cross of Christ. Why would Paul be able to boast in Christ's death?
Chris, he was able to boast in Christ's death because he got so freed and separated from his old life. You referred to what he used to boast in. In Philippians 3, 5, and 6, it says, I was circumcised the 8th day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal persecuting the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, become blameless. Listen to his boast. But he was empty, he was dead, and he was opposing the living God. And at a certain point, the God of glory appeared to this religious zealot and shined on him and even shined the very Christ into his being. At that point, he realized he needed to be separated from his old religious life of observances of everything except Christ. How could he get free? The only way he could be separated from that old boast was through the cross of Christ. That verse you mentioned says, through whom the world was crucified to me and I to the world. So Paul was separated from his old world, which was not just a secular world, but a religious world. We'll see in this broadcast a little bit more about this religious world. I like Galatians 1:4, don't you, Chris, where it says, Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. And this evil age is just the religious world. So Paul was able to boast in Christ's death because this death terminated the religious world to Paul and Paul to the religious world. What a wonderful separation so that he could go on pursuing Christ to the uttermost.
Well, Dick, the following verse is our main focus in this coming section, Galatians 6:15, which we referred to in our opening today. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation is what matters. Let's join Witness Lee.
God's intention is to have us to be a new creation. This new creation is just a group of saints. The corporate sonship, in a practical sense, is a new creation. And the old creation is just the sons of Adam. In the old creation, we were sons of Adam. As sons of Adam, we were there, the old creation, in the fall. But through God's redemption, God's regeneration, and God's dispensation, we, sons of Adam, all have become sons of God. Here, in the divine sonship, we all are the new creation. New creation here, again, actually refers to what? To that organic union. Without that organic union, we still would be the old creation. But now, in the organic union, through this union, we are now a new creation. You all have to realize Galatians is a book apparently dealing with law. Actually, it deals with the old creation. Apparently, it tells us how to be justified, to be justified by faith. Actually, it tells us a new creation. It is not just a matter of doctrine concerning the law and concerning justification by faith, but it is a revelation to let us see what we were and what we are now. We were the old creation, and now we are the new creation. So, as the new creation, we have nothing to do with doctrines, with practices, with the law-keeping. Amen. No. With the new creation, only one thing is vital, is crucial to us. That is the triune God to be our everything. Amen. The triune God process as a life-giving spirit to be our life, to be our nature, to be our everything. Then by this organic union, we are a new creation. This is wonderful. Not too many writers, teachers, expositors in this book have seen this vital concluding point.
Dick, Galatians seems to be a book that deals with law-keeping versus a life or a living by faith, and it is that. But we've also seen, and just heard particularly, that the real focus of this book is the new creation. Dick, law-keeping is absolutely a function, a religious activity that's fully occupied with the old creation. Tell us again, you mentioned it earlier, but go in a little more detail. What is the new creation?
The new creation is wonderful, Chris. I can't help but read a little bit of a footnote from the Recovery Version, chapter 6, verse 15, footnote 15:1. The old creation was old because it did not have God's element. The new creation is new because it has God as its element. Although we're still the old creation, we experience the reality of the new creation when we walk according to the Spirit. The main issue in this book is that we are the new creation and that we should live by the new creation through an organic union with the triune God. This new creation fulfills God's eternal purpose, which is to express Himself in His sonship. So the new creation is the fulfillment of God's original intention. The new creation, we could also say, is a new man, through whom God is expressed and represented, thus fulfilling His heart's desire. The old creation, composed of all the sons of Adam, was old because it did not have God in it and no element of God. The new creation has God in it as life and everything with the element of God. When God is out, all is old. When God is in, all is new. So there are so many phrases in the New Testament, like New Testament, new wine, new creation, new man, and concluding with New Jerusalem. So when God is out, everything's old. When God is in, all is new. The wonderful triune God was processed through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and he became a life-giving spirit so that he could get into us to be our life, our nature, and our everything. Where does he come into us? In our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." In this organic union, and in this organic union alone, do we become the new creation. He is new, but until we have an organic union with him, a life oneness with him, we're still just sons of Adam. But hallelujah for the one who makes us new. Lord, we love you.
Dick, one of the obstacles that frustrates us and holds us back in the old creation is this very thing we talked about in the opening today that is related to the world. And in this verse 14, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's the focus of this coming section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
For us to live such a new creation, there is the need again of the cross. And here, the need of the cross is mainly to cross out our concept of religion. Cross out the religious world. But sorry to say, many, many Christians used to quote verse 14 from this chapter, referring to the secular world. This thought, the word here, refers to the secular world. But you read the following verse, verse 15, which is an explanatory verse that explains the world in verse 14 must be the religious world. This corresponds with the whole concept of this book, because this book actually does not deal with the secular world. It deals with Judaism. It deals with a people who are quite religious, quite concerned for God's things, but in the wrong way. And this religion has become a world to them. And today, millions of Christians, they are just occupied not only by the secular world, but even more by the religious world. In order to live a new creation, we have to receive the separation by the cross from religion. We have to say, to me, that kind of world has been crucified. And to that kind of world, I have been crucified. There is such a separating cross between religion and me. Such a separation qualifies us to live a new creation. In religion, whatever they do, that is something of the old creation. But through the cross, we are through with religion. And here, really, we are in another world. We are in another realm. And here, in this realm, we live a new creation by the Spirit.
Dick, I think that this may be a surprising realization, actually, for many people. When we read verse 14, "The world has been crucified to me and I to the world," no doubt most people reading this verse assume that it's talking about the secular, evil, sinful world. But as Paul is struggling here to bring these Galatian believers into the new creation, what is the world that he is referring to that has been crucified specifically?
Verse 14, if you follow the context there, you realize he's not talking about the secular world. He's talking about the religious world, because the religious world at that time was full of this circumcision, uncircumcision matter. So the world here is definitely the religious world. I still love the definition of religion and the religious world. That is the worship of God without the enjoyment of Christ. that really clears up everything for me. I don't want any ritual, doctrine, practice, ordinance that takes me away from Christ. And nothing should replace Christ. We're here, according to God's economy, to enjoy Christ and Christ alone, and nothing should replace him. This is religion. We don't want to be found observing anything other than Christ himself. Thank the Lord for this ministry, betrothing us to Christ and Christ alone. This is a betrothing ministry. We're in love with Christ. We don't want anything to replace him.
Amen. Dick, we've got one verse left today that we want to cover in this last section. It's verse 16. As many as walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, even upon the Israel of God. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Neither circumcision is anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. I must ask you, do you really realize what is the new creation? What is the new creation? The new creation here is just the old creation transformed by the divine life. The old creation transformed by the process through God. Then what? Then we are, hallelujah, the new creation. We are still the creation. Still the creation. But in the past, it was old. Right now, it is new. Old because it was short of God. New because it is now has God. When God is in, that's new. When God is out, that is old. Amen. Even today, when we live in the flesh, that is the old creation. When we live in the spirit, and this is the new creation. Amen. In our daily walk, amen, if there is no God, amen, that is old creation. Amen. In our daily walk, if there's God in it, this is new creation. Amen. Now, verse 16. And as many as shall walk by this rule. You please tell me, what rule is this? As many as shall walk by this rule. What rule? The rule of a new creation. The rule of the processed triune God being our life and living. This is the rule. The rule is that the triune God processed to be our life and our living. Amen. We live by this life. We live by this rule. We live a new creation. And this is our rule. As many as shall walk by this rule. Surely you have to refer this walk to the walk in chapter 5. Walk by the Spirit. Right? Let us walk by the Spirit. And here it says, walk by this rule. This rule just equals by the Spirit. As many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them. And mercy. You know, in all the epistles at the opening, the apostle always says, grace be to you and peace. But at the end, he likes to put it vice versa. Peace unto you, then grace. You see, here in 16, you have peace first. Then in verse 18, you have grace. At the beginning of the epistle, grace and peace. But at the ending, it is peace and grace. Why? What is grace? Well, grace is just the trying God to be our enjoyment. And what is peace? Peace is the issue, the result of such an enjoyment. When we enjoy the trying God, it issues in what? In peace. We first need the grace, then the grace issues peace. And peace becomes our condition. Then what? Then we need to be in this condition all the time. But it doesn't mean we don't need grace anymore. We still need. So after peace, grace still has to be here. It's quite meaningful. And then here Paul says, this peace be upon those who walk by this rule. Not only peace, but also mercy. Even upon the Israel of God. Even is a strong word. It means that as many as shall walk by this rule, they are today's real Israel. We are the real Israel.
Amen.
We are the Israel of God.
Amen.
Paul was strong. He already indicated that we are the household of God.
Amen.
Why? Because we are sons of God. Because we are sons of God, surely we are God's folks. And we are the household of God. But as household of God, we are God's Israel. We are God's chosen people today. Actually, strongly speaking, today, God's chosen people on this earth is not that outward Israel, but this inward Israel. We are the real Israel.
Dick, the old creation, with all of its law-keeping and ordinances and traditions, has a lot of rules to it. But the new creation, according to verse 16, only has one rule. Dick, what's the unique rule in the new creation?
The unique rule in the new creation is live by the Spirit through faith. Who's the Spirit? This is the processed and consummated triune God as the life-giving Spirit inside of us to be our life and our living and our everything. I like verse 25 of chapter 5, don't you, Chris? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And in verse 16, it says, if we walk by the Spirit, we'll by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. I really appreciate what you said, Chris. There's only one rule. And this rule is just to enjoy the triune God who today is the life-giving Spirit. He wants to be our life. He wants to be our living. Let's take care of this one rule. Hallelujah, we're not under 5 million rules. We're under one, and this rule happens to be a living person. Oh, how we love him.
Dick, let's pick up quickly this concluding portion of the verse. It says that the ones walking by this rule are the real Israel of God, and Witness Lee referred to this in his speaking as well. What does this mean to us?
Well, in God's eyes, Chris, the nation of Israel is not the real Israel. But the sons of God in organic union with the triune God, with Christ, this is the real Israel. The real Israel is the Israel inwardly. I really like Romans 2, where it says, he who is a Jew is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart and in the spirit. Romans 2, 28 and 29 say this, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcisions of the heart in the spirit, not in letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So the real Israel is the Israel inwardly that has a relationship with God in the organic union, that is, in the life oneness. So God's real concern is not so much for the outward nation as it is for the reality of the nation of Israel, which are the sons of God who are in organic union with him. This is the real Israel. The nation of Israel, outwardly, as we see today, is it really that concerned for God? Not really. But the true Israel, the Israel inwardly, that is the sons of God who are in organic union with a triune God, this Israel is very concerned for God and for God's heart's desire. May we all realize that we're here to be the genuine, real Israel inwardly.
Of course, we do believe there is a day coming when the Lord will return to the outward Israel and unveil himself.
That's true.
Thank him. We don't have to wait for that day, Dick.
Amen.
We can know him today, and we can be the real Israel today. I was reminded about chapter 3 that we saw earlier in the life study of Galatians, Know then that they who are of faith, these are the sons of Abraham.
Amen. These are the sons of Abraham, and that means whether you're a Jew or a Greek, by faith we are sons of Abraham.
Dick, thank you for being a part of our program today. I enjoyed our Life Study Fellowship a great deal. We'll do this again soon.
I enjoyed it too. What a delight.
It's been a good week. We've seen some wonderful fellowship in Chapter 5 and Chapter 6 of the Life Study of Galatians. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening.